Welcome to Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman, serial entrepreneur, author, and podcast host. Whether success for you is more money, time with your family, a healthy, well-balanced life, or freedom, I'm interviewing guests and getting you the advice to make it happen. So join me as we uncomplicate the complicated, help you define success, and give you the strategies to make it happen. Hello, and thank you for joining us today on the Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman. Joining me today is Michelle Renee DeBellis. Michelle is an award-winning author. She is also the nominee for the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction, the Penn Hemingway Debut Novel Award, and the winner of the Literary Titan Award. She was also listed as 100 Best Indie Books of 2022. Thank you for joining us today, Michelle.
Thank you for having me on the show, Phil. It is a wonderful honor to expand the idea of what success is with you and your listeners.
Awesome. I can't wait to talk to you a little bit. I had a chance to read your book and I absolutely loved it. But I want to kick off with the opening question. What does success mean to you?
Well, to me, success is a lifestyle centered around growth in the things that matter most to us at a pace that we can enjoy. Because when we're finding daily enjoyment in work that is meaningful, we get this kind of enthusiasm that takes over that makes growth and therefore success inevitable.
So did you had enthusiasm writing this book. What was the motivation behind it?
So the motivation behind this book was to achieve my dream of becoming a writer. But one of the goals that I had was to grow as a writer. And so every single draft I wrote of this book was about achieving more growth and getting it, putting it through the fire so that it was ready for readers so that they would say, I love this book. but my husband was the inspiration for this story. This story is centered around a song called Bird of Paradise, which is a real song that my husband wrote when he lost his mother suddenly. And So his experience mirrors that of the character Santiago, who's a young man who experiences an accident that he survives, that his mother does not survive. And as a result of the pain that he experiences, both physically and emotionally, he gets addicted to opiates. And she sends him from heaven this song, which will inspire him to move out of that addiction and his grief and move into his life as a songwriter, which is his ultimate goal. And my husband had this beautiful piece of music that he was writing when we met many, many years ago. And he didn't have any growth with this song. And it was one of the most beautiful pieces of music I'd ever heard. Mm. And so as I was trying to move into what kind of a book am I going to write? What, you know, how am I going to achieve my life as a writer? This song inspired me to say, hey, what is the stagnation that's keeping him from his own growth as a songwriter? What is the reason that he can't write this song? Let me express that in story. And the really cool thing was that he was able to finish the song alongside the final draft of the novel. And he was also nominated for a Pulitzer for the song, Bird of Paradise.
Wow.
Yeah, which is something you can stream on, you know, anywhere music is available, Amazon, Spotify, Apple Music. But it's called Bird of Paradise by Dominic DeBellis. And it is such a wonderful piece of music.
Yeah. So what's it like having two artistic people in the same household?
Well, I mean, I would say that there's four of us. My kids are both committed to, you know, to being artists. My son also plays the piano like my husband does. And my daughter loves to draw. I think that it's we when we built our business, we said, let's find a business that is a residual income kind of a business so that we can focus on our creative endeavors. Because I think that is essential. I think that we're all very creative people. And if creativity matters to you, that you need to find a way to work it into your life in a meaningful way. And so we've done that. So I think it's a really wonderful thing. I think my husband, he gives me so much space to be an artist. And I appreciate that so much. And that was one of the things when it came to him writing the song, I said to him, you know, you need to give yourself permission to be an artist.
One of the things I really liked and enjoyed about your book, and maybe some people won't agree with me on this, but your characters were neither good nor bad. They kind of have
I love that. Yes.
Right. Depending on the situation. Mm-hmm. That for me, I mean, it really brought me into the story because they seemed like real people. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we get these illusions. We're listening to characters. And it's like, yeah, but is anybody really like that? But yours, no, they struggled with grief, addiction, suicide. I mean, there's some really deep topics in there, and they didn't always make the best decisions.
Right. No, well, that's the thing, you know, my mission as a writer is to express or help us understand our human experience through story. And the only way for me to do that is to have a story about characters that we can see as ourselves, and none of us are truly good or truly bad. And also it helps us to empathize with people who are making bad decisions, you know, to say, hey, I don't always make the best decisions myself. And it was so important to me to have these flawed characters that show that, hey, you know, I make the wrong choice, but I suffer for that wrong choice.
So being that this is a podcast on success, I want to talk about your speech at the university on finding your purpose.
Very
nice. Can you share some key takeaways from that experience and even how it influenced you as an author?
You know, that talk was so much about finding the things that are really important to us and prioritizing them in our lives. And for me, I talked a lot about how when I wanted to be a writer, when I first said this is really important to me, it didn't necessarily mean that it was an opportunity for me to start writing every day and jump into that mission of my life. For me, it was about building a business with my husband that would allow us, as I was saying earlier, to experience our creativity in a way that was joyful for us. And for us, that was, you know, wasn't about being starving artists. It was about having a comfortable lifestyle that then would support our creative endeavors. And so what I was saying to that audience there is, hey, there are things you want to do with your life that you might not get to do in a meaningful way right this minute, but you need to say, what can I do now? What am I doing now to allow that to be more possible in the future? And how am I staying connected to what I'm passionate about in the process? So for years of my life where I was like, I'm going to write a book and I can't wait to get started on it, but hey, I'm building this business and I'm going to have my family and I'm going to raise my children, and my creativity went towards being with my children when they were young. I said, I'm going to read every book I can, because you can't write a great book if you don't read great books. And so the way that I stayed connected in those early stages was to just read as much as I possibly could and know that that was how I was contributing to my goal and my future.
Your future success in it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anything that surprised you about the business side of, you know, authoring a book and promoting it and that sort of thing?
You know, I think a lot has surprised me about that. And I have to remember my little formula for success being about enjoying the process and enjoying the work that we do on a daily basis, because everyone told me that marketing your book is so much harder than you think. And I thought, oh, but I'm going to be so committed to my growth as a writer. The book is going to be so good. It's just going to take care of itself. And then I find that, no, it actually is, like everyone said, a lot harder than you think. And so I have to remind myself to, one, measure my success in that area by how much I've achieved and not how much further I still have to go. I think that that in general is a really important prescription for success too, is to constantly monitor how far we've come and how much enjoyment we're getting in our continued efforts towards our goal.
And do you have any activities or anything you do to remind you of those things, or is it just a matter of looking back and saying, wow, look how far we've come?
You know, some of the things that I do is like, there are certain things that are really important to me to do on a regular basis, a daily basis. And some of those are to get to go on long walks, where I kind of, it's sort of like a moving meditation where I can just enjoy myself. I love being out in nature. I love being out in the fresh air. I love being out, you know, just seeing the beauty around me. And sometimes I'll stop and say to myself, this is how I know I'm living a joyful, successful life, as I get to do this thing that matters to me. And sometimes those walks are about, hey, I've got this issue I'm trying to work out, you know, whether it be in book marketing or whether it be in story problems for future things or in my other business. It's sort of this opportunity to let ideas come to me and to let creative solutions come to me, because that's been so effective for me. But anything that we enjoy in our lives, I think, like I love having a beautiful salad every day. And sometimes I'll be preparing it or eating it and going, God, I have a really good life. And those are really great measurements of success too. How many times a day we can stop and say, I really love this thing that I get to do every day.
Yeah, and I think that's almost a habit you build, right? When you're
Yes.
constantly looking at things in a way of gratitude, you know, because somebody
Yeah.
else could eat that salad and be like, oh, I got to eat another salad to, you know, maintain what I have in my life and stuff. But, you know, you look at it and go, this is great. You know, this is fantastic. You know, it's a different approach to life. And I think
Yeah.
it's fantastic. And you've talked about your pursuit of personal growth, about being present and mindful. And obviously the walks are part of that. But do you have any other techniques or anything you could suggest to our audience for how they can incorporate mindful practices into their daily life, and for the authors, how that could potentially help them in writing as well?
Well, I think that when we have something that we're passionate about and we give it space and we make active steps towards pursuing it, that it helps us enjoy the rest of our life and find the balance between all of the things that matter in our life. I think that when there's something that we are passionate about doing and we allow our resistance to keep us from doing it, it makes everything in our entire life a little bit more difficult and challenging. So I guess what I would say is, what's important to you, prioritize it, make space for it, keep going after it, and keep remembering to look and see how far you've come as opposed to how far away you are from it. Because when we look and see how far away we are from our goals, it decreases our enthusiasm. And it's only when we have enthusiasm towards the things that matter to us that we actually achieve anything magical or special or unique with them.
Absolutely. And I mean, enjoy life in general. It can be tough to do that when you're constantly looking at how far your goals are, or comparing yourselves to others. I know that's another terrible thing to, you know, nothing's more demotivating to me than, you know, comparing myself to somebody else. So I think that's great advice.
You know, and it's funny because it's not that I don't ever do those things or get caught in those same things, you know what I mean, and comparing myself or judging my pace. But I can step back and say, wait a minute. What have we done here? And what can we do to start enjoying it? And so, like I talk about, you know, success is something that we enjoy at a certain pace. It's a pace that we like what we're doing. And sometimes when I'm writing a second novel and I'm saying, you know what, I want to write this a little faster. I want to grow a little bit more. I want to accelerate my growth. I'm not enjoying going this slow. And so for me, that meant hiring someone who knew a little bit more about it. It's like, I want to really work on the most possible satisfying structure of a story. So that when readers read it, they just feel this overwhelming sense of satisfaction that keeps the pages turning. And so I said, let me hire someone who knows more about that than I do. So not only am I getting to accelerate my growth, which makes it my work more enjoyable, I get to have the fun of collaborating with someone. I get to jump on a call and have someone that's really excited about hearing my unfolding story. And that makes it so much more fun. And I think it's really important to when we get stuck and going, oh, I'm not having fun, I'm not enjoying this as much, to say, what can I do? Can I work with a friend on this? Is there someone who knows more about this than I do? Sometimes that's a mentor in our life that is, you know, like a father figure or a partner. And sometimes it's someone that we hire. And I've been really, really grateful to hire coaches in my life that have accelerated my growth and made it more enjoyable.
That's fantastic advice. And I love what you talk about with the page turner, because your book honestly was for me a page turner. So I got to this part in it where in the middle of the night, I couldn't put it down. And
I love it.
I'm usually pretty disciplined, but my wife is like, what are you doing? You know, go to bed. And it was one of those things I just couldn't. And I just kept reading it. And I think it was like 2:30 in the morning. I was like, all right, I got to go to bed. You know, I woke up in the morning and immediately was back at like reading it again. And
I love it. It makes me so happy.
You know, whatever you say about a book, like when something has the ability to do that to you, you know, you have a winner.
I love that you say that, because when I was writing the book, and like I said, I was so committed to my growth with this novel. I would sit there and I would say, you'd be working on something and revising things. And I would say, what are you trying to say? And more importantly, what do you want your readers to experience and feel? You know, I want it to be this visceral experience where you feel things. And I would kind of just get still. And I would imagine this audience And what would satisfy the most from this sentence, this paragraph, this chapter? And so to hear you say that, it makes me so happy, because that was something that I thought about on a moment by moment basis as I was revising the novel.
Yeah, it's incredible you say that. I was actually reading this thing, and we were talking about goal setting, and mm-hmm. I've always been somebody big on goal setting and planning and that sort of thing. But there's studies that show goal planning is not the only factor in success. Another factor mm-hmm. is visualizing that goal, right? Like visualizing yourself in that situation. And so mm-hmm. I wonder how much of that helped you in this process when you're able to visualize what your readers were going to experience and what your, you know, audience was going to experience, and how much that potentially helped you with your writing style.
Yeah, absolutely. Because for me, everything I was doing was about what was going to provide the most satisfying reader experience. And so when I read the reviews or hear feedback from you like this right now, it is so rewarding to know that that intention that I visualized, that I imagined, that I hoped for is coming true. And I hope as listeners, you guys will read some of the reviews that are out there on Amazon and Goodreads, because I'm so proud of them. I'm so proud to hear and experience that my intentions are taking place.
Yeah. And the thing I would say, and I don't know if this is true for most artists, is the imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, including my wife, who's an author, have experienced that, where they, what am I doing writing this? And they, you know, think of all these excuses on why they shouldn't be the one. Right. Mm-hmm. But then mm-hmm. you hear an example of somebody who absolutely loved what you wrote, or for other artists, what you created. And I got to think there's probably nothing more satisfying in the world. I am personally not an artist, but I've done it with software where I built something and somebody loved it. And for me, there was kind of like, hey, this is my baby, you know, and it was exciting on that. And I got to imagine it's probably similar in that situation for you.
It absolutely is. It's so rewarding to see your work be admired, but also to know that it did the job that you put it out there in the world to do. Because like I said, my mission as a writer is really to just help us make sense of these confusing, crazy, wonderful, joyful lives that we're all living, and how confusing they are. So I hope that that this book did that, and then I just continue to do that more and more efficiently with each book that I write.
Absolutely. So I want to talk about your personal experience with opioid addiction. I know you talked about it in the book, and I've had some people, unfortunately, in my life who are no longer with us because of that, and it's a major problem in the U.S. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience, and then why you thought it was important to address it in this book?
Absolutely. I'm glad that you asked that question. It's kind of a little bit of a taboo subject, or something that people don't like to admit to. But then the more you talk to people, you find out that they have similar experiences. I think it's really important to write as writers about things that we have an authentic understanding of. For me, my experience was that I was in a difficult car accident, and I had several surgeries, one right after the other, and I was prescribed prescription after prescription of opiates, in my case, Vicodin. And they were just so addictive, and they gave me this kind of what I thought was an edge, you know what I mean? Or just this new, just a new thing to be high and to take me away from sober living. And at the same time, my father had an injury which couldn't be repaired. He had one of the discs in his neck near that was very close to his brainstem that they wouldn't operate on. And so doctors started prescribing him opiates. Mm-hmm. And years went by, and he was prescribed more and more opiates. And, you know, there were all these times where we thought, we need to do an intervention, we need to do something about this. But it felt like, you know, these doctors, these people that were trusting to take care of him, aren't concerned about it at all. And so in looking at that, as this was unfolding in the early 2000s, and like in 2008, 2009, 2010, where it was really, really a huge problem, I thought, you know, I just want people to be able to empathize with the manner in which people are exposed to opiates and the way that they get addicted to opiates and how it's important to empathize with that as opposed to ostracize people for their addiction. Because one of the messages of my story is that connection is one of the greatest ways that we move away from addiction. And I think what happens to a lot of people is they get ostracized from society for their addictions. And it makes it very challenging. And I don't ever want to preach in my novels. And so I didn't, you know, get into how horrible the machine is, so to speak, in terms of, you know, the pharmaceutical companies and the doctors who prescribed these opiates so freely. But I just sort of touch on it in a story sense, in an entertaining sense, to open people's eyes to it. And my next novel, Shadow of Ambition, deals with drug use again. And I thought, oh my gosh, am I going here again? Is this what I want to be known for? But I thought, no, this is so important. And I think addiction is such an important topic because I don't know anyone, I don't know if you do, that isn't addicted to something in their life that's keeping them from enjoying their lives on a greater basis. And in this story, I didn't want to tell a story where they move from taking a prescription of opiates into slamming dope or doing heroin. Like that's a huge reality too, but that wasn't the level from which my character was telling a story. Because to me, any amount of medication that you're taking in an addicted fashion beyond the time that you should be is a problem and is going to keep you from enjoying your life and at whatever level it is. And so I'm speaking to people who are at that level, who are saying, you know, I know this isn't okay for me, but it's only one pill a day, or it's only, you know, four pills a day, or in my dad's case, it's only eight pills a day, you know, for decades. And you see that it's just decreasing your ability to enjoy your life. You're having so many symptoms. But what I say that addiction always does is it speaks for us. It justifies our addictions for us. And I think that the story is a really entertaining way of looking at the ways in which we justify our addictions. And it's kind of a guide to say, hey, you know, there might be a few things I'm addicted to that, you know, maybe I should set aside to really enjoy my life more.
Yeah, no. And the part I loved in the book was you really showed from a first person perspective, the psychology and his thought process and the way he justified it, right? Well, I still have some pain, right? Or I'm not the same without this, you know, and oh, it's just this one. Oh, I'm decreasing. Oh, I'm down this, you know, and stuff. And there's always like this rationalizing, because he shouldn't, but he's always rationalizing it. And
yes. And I think that all of us in whatever small thing we're addicted to, whether it's food, whether it's work, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, there's this constant conversation that we're having in our mind that is justifying it.
I love the book. And for our audience that wants to get in touch with you, wants to hear what you got going on, wants to buy your book, The Music We Make, how do they get in touch with you?
You can go to my website, which is mrdbooks.com. So my initials, from Rochelle Renee DeBellis, mrdbooks.com. You can find the book on Amazon. You can get it on Kindle. You can get all formats there. You can also get the Audible version, which I enjoyed making so much. I narrate the book myself and I absolutely loved it. It was sort of like when you talk about success being about enjoying your life. It was like when I was recording the Audible book, I was enjoying every single minute of it. I thought, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to write the next book just so I can get to the part where I get to narrate it again. So if you like Audible books, you know, I absolutely recommend that version of the book. But you can learn a little bit more about me and, you know, my poetry and, you know, all the things that are exciting to me at mrdbooks.com.
Do you do the characters' voices in the...
I do. I totally got into it. My husband, he directed it and he was there with me, you know, as I read it. And he, you know, sometimes if we go back, I'd have to redo a part eight or nine times. No, it's not good enough. You know, and it was so hard. You know what I mean? Like I was feeling that feeling of intense growth. Like, oh my God, this is so hard, but I love every second of it.
No.
I perform all the voices.
My concern would be like, I'd mess up one of the voices like later on, like, no, that sounds a little bit different than like what I had it before. Did you run into that?
Yeah, you know, there is I am sure that people could criticize me for that very thing. And there were times when I went back and said, you know what, we need to re-record this, or we need to redo this. But there are some points where I say, like all art, is it's not about perfection. It's about making something beautiful. And it's Absolutely. Definitely beautiful. I'm very proud of it. But is it perfect? Probably not.
Well, I thought it was an amazing book. And thank you so much for your time today, Michelle. And to our audience, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.
Sounds great.